Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. As always, please take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and pass it over to your neighbor seated next to you. And please take a look at the bulletin announcement flyer and take note of the food pantry needs, also the Family Promise collection of clothing items. And also note the property and education committees will be meeting this week. The schedules are inside the bulletin as well. And the Men of Faith Fellowship Group will meet this Thursday evening. If you do plan to attend that, it would be helpful if you would RSVP. Just simply fill out the attendance flyer in the bulletin and drop it in the offering plate later in the service. And also, please take note of the youth group meeting this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. We'll be watching a movie and having pizza and snacks and fellowship time. It's sort of a transition party between summer and the start of the school year tomorrow, for most of our school districts anyway. All youth are invited, those going into sixth grade or above this year, and all youth are invited to bring a friend or two as well. Also note that beginning next Sunday, Sunday, September 11th, we will begin our next session of our Christian Beliefs class, which is in preparation for baptism, but baptism is not the necessary outcome. We simply want to plant that seed. Baptism is a personal choice between each child and their family. We would also welcome those children who have already been baptized but would like to attend a refresher. They may attend that as well, or perhaps to provide guidance or mentorship for children who are considering the sacrament of baptism. No reservations required. We'll meet in the youth room every Sunday morning between 9:45 and 10:45. That's during the Sunday school hour. We're planning on about 4 to 5 weeks, just depending on interactive discussion and what kind of questions might come up. And finally, folks, as school starts tomorrow for most children, please be aware of school buses, school crossings, and parking lots. Just be aware of your surroundings so we can ensure the safety of the youngest among us. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Sing and shout for joy, people of Israel.
Rejoice with all your heart, Israel.
The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. There is no reason now to be afraid.
The Lord will take delight in you.
And in his love, he will give you new life. We'll now sing hymn number 709, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, stanzas 1 and 3.
Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for the privilege to gather in our church home and to welcome visitors and to love and support each other, just as Jesus taught us to do. We've enjoyed cooler weather this week, and we look forward to the joys of the start of the school year tomorrow for many of our children. We also give you thanks for the challenges that come with each new school year and for the knowledge that challenges lead to growth and strength. And as we begin our service of worship now, we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit, who brings us the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning.
Got to put this in there, Jim.
Oh. Please be seated. We would like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Are you good? Are you ready for school? No? Oh my goodness. Well, ready or not, school starts tomorrow. what's so important about school? We gotta go to school to learn, don't we? We learn new things. Maybe to help us remember some things that we learned last year, make some new friends maybe, see some of our old friends from last year. Yeah. And it's just very important that we learn. It helps us grow, it helps us mature, it helps us learn to take care of ourselves, right? Okay, but did you know that even the Bible has several verses about how important learning is? It does, I'm telling you. See, when all those people in the Bible were, they didn't have libraries full of books, they didn't have computers with every book on the known planet, you know, on them, or phones with books on them. They had Proverbs. Proverbs were a way for their teachers, their wise leaders, to help people learn. Not only about the Bible, but about other things. They passed everything down by mouth. They just talked. They told about it. They memorize things. So, and of all of these wise men, one of the very wisest in the Bible was King Solomon. He was known to be very, very, very wise man. And he wrote a lot of the Proverbs in the Bible. I'm going to read one of my particular favorites. It's actually at the very start of the book of Proverbs, the very first chapter. And it's verses 2-4. Now remember, this is King Solomon talking, okay? He says, Proverbs will teach you wisdom and self-control, and how to understand sayings with deep meanings. You will learn what is right and honest and fair. From these, an ordinary person can learn to be smart. You can learn to be smart. That's what school's about too, isn't it? Learning to be smart. And young people can gain knowledge and good sense. I remember when I was young, and if we'd do something particularly not very smart, our mama would look at us and go, "Where's your good sense? You know better than that." Yeah, we don't always use our good sense, do we? So, just remember, you come here to learn about God, and you learn to be loving and kind and honest, and to be wise and get smart. Okay, can we have a little bit of a prayer? God, thank you for all of our teachers, wherever we find them. Please protect our children this year as they go back to school. Keep our schools, our teachers safe. Please help us to listen carefully as we are being taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we go to God in prayer this morning, may we please keep Dave Tarver in our prayers. He's going to be undergoing a heart cath at St. Luke's here on Berry Road on Tuesday morning of this week. We also want to lift up Don and Luella Scott. Don is now in hospice care at their home, and again, with the health concerns he's had, they've not been able to attend worship since time period before the pandemic. Larry Pettis has been at North Kansas City Hospital. Now he is in rehabilitation. We're hoping that he continues to make a good progress and will be able to return home soon. We also continue our prayers for Rihanna Ralston in the midst of her recovery from colon surgery. We also remember Betty and Jerry Donahue in the midst of health matters for them day by day. We also lift up Larry Pitts. You know, Larry would often attend this service here at 8:30 with us. He just finished that radiation treatment that took the last 5 weeks on this past Monday, and is making steady and good progress with that. We hope that he'll get to a point where he'll be able to come back and join us for services. We also keep Evelyn Prusner in our prayers, as well as Don and Mary Jane Hagen's cousin David. And Bonnie, we're lifting up your brother Wayne Moss in the midst of him being in intensive care there in Colorado after injuries he incurred from a fall. But we certainly are grateful that your son-in-law, Chris, is doing so well. Praise God for that. And so with all of these people upon our hearts, and certainly others whom we remember week to week, may we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we express our genuine gratitude for the privilege to offer you praise this Lord's Day morning. As scriptures remind us that your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, became the Word that dwelt among us, we are in awe of your great love for us. As Christ walked alongside the people of his generation, may we be humbled by the fact that in a spiritual way, you desire to walk alongside every one of us this day through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. For as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 reminds us, we walk by faith and not by sight. May we also be reassured by the truth stated in James chapter 4, verse 8, that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 reminds us, therefore, as we have received Christ as our Lord, so shall we walk in him. And even as we consider the tasks that are set before us this new week, we remember also that the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, even as Galatians reminds us that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. With these assurances from your word, we strive to walk alongside your Holy Spirit this new week and live for the glory of your kingdom here on earth. And for the privilege to embark upon this journey, we give you thanks as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In writing this morning's communion hymn, Miriam Drury is earnestly hoping that Christ may become for us the living bread and wine unfailing, elements of the Lord's Supper that may feed, renew, and comfort us, helping us to live as God's people. And then in the final third verse, she hopes that in our shared communion around the Lord's table, we all, with one accord, may unite around the sacred table to offer praise to God's holy name. May it thus be in unity of faith in Christ Jesus that we humbly receive the bread and cup of the Lord's table and truly find ourselves in harmony with one another in Christ. Our communion hymn number 423, Become to Us the Living Bread. We'll sing all three stanzas, please. Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can gather around your table. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. We ask that you might bless these emblems, the cup and the bread, this morning, and be with us always. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The 13th chapter of Hebrews, verses 14 and 16 tell us, there is no permanent city for us here on earth. We are looking for the city which is to come. Do not forget to do good and to help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God. Every Sunday, we offer a portion of our resources for God's glory and for the benefit of others, realizing that we are striving to bring a hint of God's eternal kingdom and glory into the lives of others by meeting essential needs, while always keeping our eye on God's eternal kingdom rather than on the temporal things of this earth. For the privilege to give of our resources for the benefit of others, Ruth Ann offers us a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Generous Father, thank you for all the things that were created through you and for you. You are before all things, and in you all things exist. The Bible says that we should bring our tithes and offerings unto your storehouse, and that you will respond by opening the windows of heaven and sending down blessings upon blessings. Accept the gifts we place before you now. May the peace of God reign in our lives and the love of God surround us, the Spirit of God empower us, and the joy of God uphold us. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'd like to start another series of messages. This one focusing on the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It is a section in which we see people being drawn to Jesus before they are called to be his disciples, you know, like Andrew, Simon Peter, James and John, Nathaniel, and others. And we must ask the question, what was it that compelled them to want to rest in the assurance that Jesus was truly the Messiah? And so I hope we will find that to be a good journey in the Sundays ahead. But for this morning, we must first of all focus on this very key aspect, literally, of the entire gospel. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So I read to you from John chapter 1, 14 through 18. This is in the King James Version to begin with, because in that 14th verse, that's the one we're most familiar with. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." May we bow our heads. Merciful God, we are humbled, as we are also filled with joy, because over 2 millennia ago, you chose to live among us through your Son, so that we may not only be redeemed from sin, but so we may know you in a most intimate way. For your great grace and love, we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. The most wondrous aspect of the Christian faith, and that which distinguishes us from all other religions of the world, is that God loved us so much that God sent his Son and Savior Jesus Christ. He left the heavenly realm. He took on a human form and dwelt among us as one of us. This very real expression of God's profound love is celebrated in the most beloved and remembered verse of the Bible. Of course, what would that be? John 3:16. Again, we typically remember it in that King James Version. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life." And you may recall, back in 2020, in July of that year, I began a series of messages about 3:16 verses of the Bible, and the very first one was an emphasis on not John 3:16, it was 1 John 3:16, another key verse of the Bible well worth remembering. As 1 John 3:16, the first portion says, "See how much the Father has loved us? His love is so great that we are called God's children, and so, in fact, we are." So you see, that verse just continues to emphasize that immediacy of relationship that God wants to have with every one of us, including you. And beginning this morning and continuing for several Sundays, I would like for us to explore this first chapter of the Gospel of John, because this chapter reveals so much about Jesus coming into the world and how people were drawn to him even before some of these folks were called to be his apostles. In John chapter 1, this is a beloved verse well worth taking to heart. This is one of those verses we ought to memorize. Again, John chapter 1, verse 14. I'm reading again from that King James Version. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That ought to be on our wall. It ought to be written upon our hearts for us to truly comprehend the depth, the profound depth of God's great love. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so that indeed we may experience the fullness, a wondrous fullness of God's presence with us. Now, we know that the expression "the Word" refers to Jesus, and it is used 4 times in John chapter 1 before this 5th reference here in the 14th verse. John chapter 1, verse 1, "Before the world was created, the Word," in other words, Jesus Christ, "already existed. Then in the second verse of John 1, from the very beginning, the Word, meaning again Christ, was with God. The third time, John chapter 1, verse 4, the Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. In other words, brought understanding to us. John chapter 1, then verse 10, the Word was in the world, and through God made the world through Him. In other words, even the very essence of creation came about in that union between God the Father, God the Son. But why is Jesus referred to as the Word? Why don't we just use the name Jesus in those various slots? Why did the author of John use this expression, the Word? Well, John's gospel is the last one written of the four in our Bible. And it is written in the thoughts of Jesus' beloved disciple, John, one of the original 12 apostles. He's the one who lived the longest, you remember. And of course, you may recall from previous sermons how we had Andrew and Simon Peter were brothers, James and John were brothers, but those two groups were cousins of one another. And they were all in the fishing industry, remember that? But here, John is the one who lives the longest. And in the later years of John's life, the gospel message of Jesus had spread beyond the boundaries of the Jewish faith and was gaining appeal among the Greeks of the Roman world. John's gospel was written to make an appeal not only to Jewish people, but most certainly to the Greek people, as the message of Christ was moving across the Mediterranean and into the European parts of the world. And the expression, the Word, was a common one, understood by both Jewish and Greek-speaking people in this latter part of the first century AD. It's a rather complicated concept for us to grasp the depth of meaning behind this expression, the Word, in ancient times. But in an effort to boil it down to a few comprehensible thoughts, I share with you that, first of all, the Jewish people believed that the very essence and power of God existed through the spoken Word of God. Words from God, they felt, were fearfully alive, possessing energy and power. We see this in the book of Genesis, where it is God speaking that brings forth the various portions of the creation of the earth. And there is such reverence for the Word of God that Jewish people would not even express a direct name in their language for God Himself. They were also very sparing and very cautious about the use of words. Hebrew speech had fewer than 10,000 actual words in biblical times, whereas the Greek language of the day possessed 200,000 different words. The Greeks in biblical times believed that the Word, or the Greek word logos, was the reason of God. It was the principle of order, the power, if you will, through which the earth and the universe found continuity out of chaos. Thus, John's gospel is striving to appeal to the beliefs of both the Jewish and the Greek listeners. It is saying that Jesus is the full spoken energy, that would be your Jewish thought, as well as the logos, or the universal order, that's the Greek thought, of God. Jesus, the Word, is thus the full and complete message of God's presence among us, whether one be Jewish or Greek. But for both Jewish and Greek people in this latter portion of the first century, the most amazing thing is to realize that God's power, whether it be in Jewish thought or whether it be in Greek thought, God's very essence took on the absolutely amazing characteristic of becoming fully human, just like you and me. And just as amazing as that thought was for the people of biblical times, it should be equally awe-inspiring for you and me in our time. You know, we often find ourselves very much separated from God. We'll talk about God as, well, he's the man upstairs. Or, you know, he's that, the great awe-inspiring divine, whatever. You know, we'll come up with all kinds of phrases and ideas to separate ourselves, to distance ourselves because we don't feel worthy. But what we must understand is that God's love for humanity is so great that he chose to come and dwell among us as one of us. God tried to relate to humanity through the law, first of all, given to Moses, and also by the multitude of prophets through the centuries, but time and again, humanity ignored God's expressions of his love, and they were drawn over and over again to the pagan religions of their day. You would think God would have said, "That's enough, I give up." But no. God's love is so great, he kept trying, he kept coming back, kept coming back to us. Jesus even comments of God's frustration as he laments over Jerusalem and predicts the city's coming destruction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent you. How many times I wanted to put my arms around you, or all your people, just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." But because God's love for us is so great, he sets aside our rejections, and like a parent who so very much still cares for one's children, comes to us one more time. And this time he offers the very essence of himself in the Word, the Logos, in Jesus Christ, that we might truly experience and believe in the very living presence of God among us. You know, children always enjoy receiving a birthday card or a gift in the mail from grandparents. But such tangible gifts pale when compared to actually getting a genuine, real, day-to-day visit from grandma and grandpa in the flesh, because no material gift is of greater importance than a great big hug from grandma, right? Do you remember that even in your own time? You know, when I was growing up, we lived way down in San Antonio. And of course, my grandparents on my mother's side lived over here just south of St. Louis. It was a long enough stretch that the number of times I actually was able to visit with my grandparents, I could put on one hand, count them on one hand, over the course of all of those years I was growing up. By golly, a visit, that was memorable, right? Just the very presence is such a different thing. And so it is in our relationship with God. Regarding our faith in God, there is truly nothing more genuine than experience the intent and interested eye, the gentle healing hand, the reassuring word of peace and comfort that all come from our living Lord Jesus. And the more we read and reread the stories of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the more alive the Word, the Logos, the living Lord Jesus becomes for you and for me. Thus, John the Baptist pointed his followers away from himself and toward the living Messiah. And even common fishermen like Andrew and his brother Simon Peter and their cousins James and John And others like Philip and Nathaniel were inspired to follow Jesus. We'll learn more of their story as we journey forward in the weeks ahead. And so even today, you and I, may we affirm the truth of John chapter 1, verse 14. Write it on a card and stick it on your refrigerator. The Word, meaning Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I ask you this morning, do you know Christ? He certainly wants to know you. He wants to be your Savior, and all you have to do is seek forgiveness of your sin and accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. Today is your opportunity to make that confession of faith. Today is your opportunity to become a part of our fellowship as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 576, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. We'll sing all three stanzas, please. 576.
Faith looks up to thee, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. This day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and may we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Holy Spirit inspires and empowers us as we truly realize your great love for us. Guide us as we step forward into the task of the new week, that truly we may honor you by what we do and say. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.